So I want to introduce Leni Martometi. She was appointed to the school board by the mayor after San Francisco voters had called three members of the school board. And so we thought now would be a great time for her to update us on what's happening in the school board since her appointment. Your appointment was in May, is that right?
March, mid-March, yes. Yes, that's March. Been a little over 4 months.
Yeah. So we had originally invited Ann Hsu to join us, but she was unable to join today. I'm sure some of you have read a little bit about a controversy that she's been involved in. And without further ado, as I say, Leni, why don't you tell us a little bit about the school board, and that will be followed by questions. We received some questions by people when they registered for this, and we've got a couple questions in the chat, and people have an opportunity to add more questions in the chat function. Thank you.
That sounds good. Well, thank you so much to Sharp and GGHNA for hosting me, and you're a very, very timely group. I appreciate it. I was hoping we would have an opportunity to meet in person, but I understand, you know, online is how things are today. And so how I was hoping to use this time is to both introduce myself as a new commissioner, since I've just been in the role for 4 months as an appointee, and also talk a little bit about what we've accomplished in that time and what we're hoping to work on in the future. So as we just talked about, I joined the board in March. I was appointed by Mayor Breed after the recall election. And honestly, I stepped into this role because I know we have a lot of work to do together. And if we were in person, I would ask all of you, how many of you are parents? You're welcome to raise your hand if you have your screens open, or just put, yeah, thumbs up, I'm seeing. So that's great. And I'm just so curious. It's so much harder when we're not in person. But yes, I'm so curious about how many of you have sent your kids to SFUSD. So maybe when we get to questions, if you can share that with me. Because about 30% of families choose an option other than SFUSD here in San Francisco to educate their kids, which means we have a lot of work to do to make SFUSD a choice that all families would consider as a great option for potentially for their children. So my focus has been, ever since I joined the Board of Education, is to really be singularly, or three things, to make sure our students are supported and successful in their learning, that our district is run for the benefit of our students, and that our finances reflect our student priorities. I have two kids. I've been an SFUSD parent for the last decade, all the way from my youngest started in preschool and an SFUSD preschool as a two-year-old, and now is in middle school. My parents are retired Los Angeles Unified School teachers, and I went to public school all the way through preschool to my MBA. And my dad is an Iranian immigrant who moved here as a teenager here to San Francisco. And public education is how he learned English, studied, got acclimated to our culture, and ultimately became a professor. And I'm really, truly indebted to public education. I spent a lot of time as a kid helping my parents prep materials and watching how hard they work for their students. So when I joined the district as a parent 10 years ago, I knew that our schools need involvement and community support and investment, both in dollars and indeed. Happy teachers make happy students, and that means happy families. So I pitched in our schools, in the classrooms, tutoring and supporting, fundraising, on student site councils, PTAs, all the things that you might imagine. And as I became more involved, I was tapped to engage at the district level, and I joined and then co-chaired a budget committee advising on about $80 million of annual funding that our very generous city gives to SFUSD each year. And I immediately saw a disconnect between our district leadership behavior and what was happening and needed at our school sites, especially after seeing for so many years how hard our school sites work to serve our kids. So I began to work my tail off to track the money and to push hard for reporting, accountability, and transparency, and to really understand how our students are prioritized in our spending. And then the pandemic hit, and the failings of our district leadership became evident and undeniable. But before there, I do want to give just a teeny bit of background about my qualifications. I worked in state government leading climate change and clean energy policy regulation and implementation. I worked in the private sector and technology, and I've served on nonprofit boards here in San Francisco for over 10 years, including the Bicycle Coalition and the Botanical Garden, which is now the Gardens of Golden Gate. And I'm currently a part-time National Park Service Horse Patrol Ranger and volunteer program manager in the Headlands across the bay. The through line on all of my work has been transparent and inclusive management, driving towards positive outcomes and really focusing on best practices and learning. So as a parent living through the pandemic and continuing to follow our budget issues, I was really, really horrified. We heard nothing about student priorities. The budget concerns I'd voiced prior got way worse, and I began reaching out to our supervisors, parent groups, anyone who would listen. I knew the harm that was happening to our students and families and educators, and the lack of clear student-focused priorities was destructive. So that is why all of those things will lead up to how I came into this role and why I'm so incredibly honored to serve on this board. I'm really working hard to be a commissioner and part of a leadership team that I really desperately wanted for the last decade, and especially over the last couple years. We have a really huge opportunity. The focus on students, the job, and governance has not been present in our district for many years before. And again, like I want to reiterate, the focus is making sure our students are supported and successful in their learning, that our district is run for the benefit of our students, and that our finances reflect our student priorities. In the 4 short months, or long months, depending on how you look at it, here's what I've helped accomplish. We've balanced the budget. We were able to rescind teacher layoffs, which was a huge, huge win. We hired a new superintendent who just started 2 weeks ago. We settled the Washington Murals lawsuit. Lowell's been returned to criteria-based admissions for the upcoming application period, and we've committed to a full review of a portfolio of all of our high schools and what they offer, and really understanding what our and getting community input on what they would like to see our high schools offer. I've also worked with city partners to shore up resources and to shore up financial support for our district. And currently I'm chairing a short-term committee to review our governance procedures and how we set our agenda, how we spend our time and therefore your time, and how we communicate with each other and with the public. We've also committed to working as a board alongside our superintendent and developing a strategic plan and focusing on visions, values, goals, and guardrails. So I really, we have a lot of work to do. We're putting the structures in place so that we can actually focus on the work and focus on data and assessment, hear from our educators, hear from our school sites about what they need. We have a complicated district. 20 to 25% of our kids are English learners. About 13% of our students have individual educational plans, meaning that they need extra supports in their learning. Our current statistics are showing that about 50% of our kids are reading at grade level at any given time, but it's much lower for some of our populations, and we need to do and we must do better. 40% of our eighth grade graduates are not prepared for high school by our own measure as a district. That's 40% of our eighth grade graduates are not prepared for high school. And this year, our graduating class, that's jumped to about 50%. We do have an 89% high school graduating rate, but only 60% of our graduates or high school graduates are career or college ready. So there's a lot of things that we need to put in place. We need to focus on the next steps. We need to cool temperatures, structure ourselves to spend at least 50% of our board time on student outcomes, and to really just focus our agenda on what our students need, so that they can be supported and successful in their learning, that our district is run for the benefit of our students, and that our finances reflect our student priorities. So I joined in March. That's what I've been working on. That's what I'll continue to be working on. I'm running a finishing up a term that's up for election in November. So I'm currently campaigning on top of doing the work and chairing the governance committee. And I really, really appreciate the time that you're taking to learn more about not only me, but our district and what we're trying to accomplish. And with that, I would love to open it up for questions and conversation.
Great. Okay. So we had a number of questions that were submitted to us beforehand. We thank you for your presentation, and I'm going to intersperse these from some questions that people have put in the chat. And if you have additional questions in the chat, you can add those now. Thank you. So the first one is, do you think the new superintendent is too ideologically oriented on equity to prevent common sense solutions from occurring? We can't hear you. Lainey, we can't hear you. Can anybody else hear?
Hold on a second. Hold on a second.
I had muted myself while you were talking, so, and then I couldn't unmute myself, so I'm sorry. Actually, quite the opposite. I mean, our new superintendent has been here for 2 weeks, and we're already receiving reports like student performance analysis, data that I have not seen in the last several months of being a commissioner. He's starting to track information and share information with the board so we can make informed decisions about how our students are doing. He sat down with us he came to a conference on board governance and really dove into the work and trying to figure out how to work with us so we can be most effective in affecting our improving student outcomes and being better financial stewards and providing more transparency. So I feel I don't at all. It's quite refreshing actually that I feel like he's really focused on looking at our students where they are and also communicating with our educators and not just providing top-down information, but partnering with our educators and principals so that we can make better decisions as a district in his role, and we can support that work as a board.
Great, thank you. By most metrics, the school district has done a poor job of educating Black students. It also has done a mediocre job of educating Hispanic students, and somewhat surprisingly, and worse than all the school districts in the state, according to a recent study, Filipino American students. What does the school board and the superintendent plan to do about this? She's muted herself. Can you unmute her, Sophia?
That's last time. Not doing that again. Yes, we are very much aware that we have honestly been failing many of our students. I mean, even about 40% of our only about 40% of our students that are eligible for free and reduced lunch are reading at grade level. So this goes across the board, and there's definitely been populations that have been disproportionately affected. But when we talk about the statistics that I raised up at the beginning or at the end of my introduction, it's clear that we're failing students across the board. I mean, if 40% of your eighth grade graduates are not ready for high school, and only 60% of your high school graduates are not career or college ready, it does beg the question of how you're spending these students' time and how we as a district are providing supports and curriculum and instruction and supporting our teachers, frankly, so that they can do the job that they want to do, and that they're able to give feedback to central office and to district leadership about what's working for them in the classrooms and how they can be more successful. We have a lot of work to do as district leadership to be better partners with our educators and with our families so that we can serve the diversity of student populations that are our responsibility. Our students should be progressing at grade level, and if they're not, and there should be early checks and ways to support them. So if they're not succeeding as they ought to be, and we know that they could be, we're providing the resources. It's definitely not, those kinds of statistics are the result of adult failures. These are not student failures. These are not the kids failing. These are adults failing to serve the kids.
Okay, good. We have a couple of comments in the chat room. Somebody says, the only reason I'm here is for Ann Chu. And they say that they support her. Do you have any comments on that situation?
I really don't, other than just to say, as a candidate, I'm focusing on my own race, but I also am very, very committed to working. I'm committed alongside my board members to serving all of our students.
So a related question, are you still supporting all three of the commissioners appointed by the mayor?
At this point,
Lisa Weissman Ward and yourself?
I am focused on my own candidacy, and I am working collaboratively and constructively with all members of the board that share our values and respect for diverse communities. I'm committed to the work of serving our students. That is where my focus is, and I'm therefore focusing on my own candidacy and my own campaign at this time.
Okay. How do you plan to address teacher shortages?
Oof, that's a big one. I mean, really what we need to do is create a this goes back to the answer of my previous one of the previous questions. We need to do a better job of partnering with our educators and listening to them and hearing what their needs are so that they can feel successful and happy in their classrooms. We also need to look at pay. We need to look at ways to create retention. It's a complicated question, but I think the work that we're trying to do at the board to really focus on student priorities and be clear about our commitment to improving educational outcomes across the board and working with our educators to do that work as opposed to just telling them how it's going to be, which is one of the biggest. I visited over a dozen in the last four months. I visited over a dozen school sites, and I've heard loud and clear from our educators that they need to be heard. They want to be heard. They want to make decisions collaboratively with the district. They also want to have the opportunities to give input on our whole K through 12, not just the elementary schools want to share information beyond just what's happening with the elementary schools. The middle schools want to share information with what they're seeing from our middle school students. Coming up through elementary schools. And this really has a lot to do with how we structure our curriculum and instruction. And we have so many bright, talented, dedicated educators that the work is really just to uplift their voices, provide supports that they need, do hard work around the budget so we can better support them, and that the student priorities and educator priorities come through our investments.
Okay. You've been on the board for several months now, since March. How has your thinking changed since being on the board and your perspective? Anything surprised you? Any differences in your viewpoint overall?
I had been, because of my time the last 4 years prior to joining the board on the budget committee that I mentioned, the Public Education Enrichment Fund, I'd gotten a fair amount of insight into the need for alignment around student priorities and our spending, and for the district to be able to articulate how they are prioritizing our students. That work is still being done, and I've been really pleased to see how committed this board is to doing that work. This is not an overnight fix. Like, the issues that I saw as a parent and then as co-chair of the committee I mentioned, and now as a Board of Education commissioner, a lot of these issues took years to get us this place. And I'm seeing commitment among the board to really do the work. And I was also really pleased. I didn't know how the superintendent search would go. That had already been underway when the three of us new commissioners joined. And it really was a collaborative, constructive process. And we 7-0 hired a superintendent that we're really excited about, and who's really focused on doing the work and working with us to ensure that we are focused on our students, we're focused on our student outcomes, we have clear priorities, and we're measuring and assessing and reporting out and working collaboratively with our communities, our educator and family, and the communities at large. The one thing that is also pleasantly surprising is how much our city partners want to partner with this district. We had been pretty isolated. I think that was really evident during the pandemic, how the district leadership chose to go it alone and not so successfully. We have city partners and city leaders and city agencies and departments that also are serving our youth and provide resources that the district could benefit from, that are standing ready if they can see that we are a district that they can work with and that is making strong decisions for the benefit of our students and also making fiscally responsible and transparent decisions, that we are being accountable for the work that we are chartered to do.
Okay. This question you addressed a little bit, but maybe you can elaborate a little more. Where are you on the Lowell controversy? What's the future of Lowell going to look like?
So we did reinstate criteria. So this upcoming application process will be criteria based, or the staff was directed. The board made the decision to make it criteria based for this year. Alongside that, we opened up directed the superintendent to initiate a task force to look at the full portfolio of high schools. What's been very, very clear to me, I'll put it this way. We do not have a course catalog for our high schools. That's highly unusual. That is not common in other districts that I've seen. It's very difficult to get any information that is confirmed to be up to date about what our high schools are offering. So Lowell has been a high school because it's been very transparent about what is offered, been very focused on academic and enrichment programs. The conversation has been focused on Lowell, and really there's no matter what enrollment process we've used, what application process we've used for Lowell, there has always been more student demand for those seats than there are seats at Lowell, which tells me that there are students who want more of what Lowell is offering. And we need to be providing those kinds of opportunities across our high schools, or be more transparent about what is in place at our high schools that our students can also benefit from. It's really, really difficult. The course catalog has not been published since 2014. I've been advocating since I've gotten into the seat to get a course catalog so we can begin to assess as a board what is the baseline that we're offering across our high schools? Where are their pathways, whether they're career or college pathways? How are we committing to those as a district? A lot of those have seemed to be run by, you know, teachers and principals who have taken the personal initiative to make these things happen. But we need to be more transparent about what we are committing to at our high schools, what the opportunities are, and to make more than one high school be deemed excellent.
Okay. So just to be clear, you say it's going to be admission criteria based. That means presumably test scores, grades, so some combination. Is that going to happen
for the upcoming application period? Oh, sorry.
Is that for this fall or next fall?
So when I came into the board, the decision had already so the incoming freshmen were already accepted. So this is the application for the process that kids who are currently in eighth grade would be making for their freshman year. It is now reverted. This staff has been directed by the board to revert back to the criteria that was in place prior to the pandemic, which was ostensibly originally paused because of the pandemic. So yes, so now there's always been three bands. 70% of the students were admitted on grades and test scores, and then two other bands that had other factors that were taken into account, whether there were other skills or interests demonstrated, other reasons why students were identified as being, you know, excellent candidates for the school or the current school of attendance. There was always 30% of seats that went beyond just grades and test scores for admission, and that will be the case in this application period for fall.
Okay, thank you. The next question, I'm paraphrasing because I don't really understand it completely, but how can we instill resiliency in our school children?
Oh my gosh, I feel like our kids have been nothing but resilient over the last few years. I guess I want to move back. I mean, I feel like what our students need now is adults stepping up to really do the work of ensuring that they're getting the supports they need to be successful in our schools. I feel like our kids have been resilient, and as adults, we need to step up for our students at this point. And yeah.
Okay. Let's see. What is the trend of San Francisco School District student to staff ratios, and what's the ratios in private schools?
You know, that is a great. I am going to go back into the district and ask that question, because I don't know about private schools. I wouldn't have access to that information, but I'm going to ask that question. I don't know off the top of my head, and it certainly would be different for elementary schools versus middle schools versus our high schools. So that is a good data point that I should know as a new commissioner. So thank you for the question.
Okay, John Berry, thank you for that question there. The next question is, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, the school lottery system has been a band-aid to make up for inequality across the school system. Over the years, the board has been more focused on improving the Band-Aid than making all the schools great. Why is there still such a disparity in the quality and outcomes across San Francisco schools? As it is, almost nobody in our neighborhood goes to the same school. Everyone has to drive across the city to go to school.
That is exactly the crux of why I'm interested in being in this role. You know, part of to the earlier question, when we're looking at high schools, we also need to be looking back at what's happening K through eight. If 40% on average, like in every year, 40% of our eighth grade graduates are not ready for high school by our own measures, then I think it's pretty fair to say that our system is failing our students. So the work that we need to do is, and same with third grade literacy. There's a number of different data points that we have a lot of work to do to really drill into and figure out how to move the needle so we can be supporting our students and working with our educators who are very committed to supporting our students.
Okay. We have a question from a teacher at Lowell High School, and he asks, since the teacher payroll debacle, I would like to ask when HR at 555 Franklin will reinstate office hours for school staff. And I assume HR is human relations.
Yeah. That's another question. I will, I can put my, well, the teacher should have my, it's Lainey Matomedy at SFUSD. So Lainey Matomedy at SFUSD.edu. I don't actually know exactly when office hours will start, but I will find out. So if, I can put my email in the chat and connect with that person and get the answers. Yeah.
Jeremy, I hope you heard that. Yes, that sounds very useful. Thank you. My daughter is a principal in the school district, and obviously the payroll problem is a big one for some of her teachers. Can there be metrics on homework assignments and submission by ethnicities? Will homework be looked? That's the basis of the question.
Repeat the question. So homework.
Yeah. Can there be metrics on homework assignment and submission of homework by ethnicities?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. As a parent, I'd never. Or, you know, and being within the district,
I think it's kind of a reasonable question. In other words, are we having the same kind of expectation for students regardless of race or ethnicity, or are we, assigning less homework to different groups or something?
I've never heard of such a thing. I guess I didn't understand the question. There's no district policy to modify work based upon race.
But I think the question is, do we have any metrics on this, or can we get metrics on that?
We have metrics. We have metrics as far as, not so much on homework, but on assessments testing and, you know, reading inventories and things like that that do drill down into different demographic student populations, and including like English learners, free and reduced lunch. I mean, there's even state mandated demographics that the district has to report on. So it's 8:05. I just want to watch everyone's time. Yeah.
Okay. We've got a couple more. By the way, the person who asked a question about the metrics on homework says that Baltimore has some, school district has something along those lines. I don't quite understand the comment, but another questioner asked, where can the average person go to learn more about San Francisco education spending, and in what tangible ways would you like to increase transparency?
So right now there's a couple. So if you go to our, I think it's called the budget and LCAP page, There is every year the district is required to provide reporting to the Department of Education that includes the funding allocations and the priorities to some extent. I've been saying for a long time as a commissioner that we have been performatively going through that process. So as far as improving that process, what is supposed to be required when the district annually, it's a 3-year plan that's annually updated, and it's supposed to include community input from educators, families, students, as well as community members. And many other districts provide trainings and regular updates on what the priorities are, what the spending is, what the progress is, how things are being measured, and do that on an ongoing cyclical basis. And that is the kind of work that would be a huge step in the right direction for our district. We don't have a community input process, and we don't really have a process in place with our educators. And we do have a position open to help start facilitating that process now. The plan itself is called the Local Control Accountability Plan, is the 3-year plan that is submitted and updated annually to the Department of Education.
Okay. Let's see. That's very useful, I think. Somebody writes, are you and Ann Chu trying to raise all students to academic excellence as the main priority instead of some special interest goals? Are you and Ann Chu trying to raise all students to academic excellence as the main priority instead of some special interest goals?
I can't speak for Commissioner Hsu. I mean, as I stated earlier, I'm focused on improving student outcomes, and that includes academic excellence. The goal and purpose of public education is to improve student outcomes, whether that's career readiness, career pathways, college readiness, athletics, arts enrichment. I am all for improving outcomes for our students and providing excellent, outstanding education that's accessible for all of our students, and to be clearly communicating that to our students and families and working with our educators to make that happen.
Okay, thank you. Caller expresses the hope that the district will include additional budgeting for additional counselors. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, this is exactly yes, we need counselors, and we also need to be working transparently in when we're developing our budgets and reporting back on what our school sites are needing, so that our student priorities, our resources, and our spending are aligned.
Okay. I think we've answered all these other questions. I'm going to thank you very much for your presentation and for all the hard work you're doing, and wish you all the best of luck.
Well, thank you. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to introduce myself. I really appreciate it.
By the way, there's one more question, and that's about more computer support. People who were astounded that during the pandemic, a lot of students didn't have any access to computers. I know that's in the past, but computer access is important going forward too. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, we did during the pandemic, and I mean, I wasn't a commissioner at this time, but I was a parent, so I saw firsthand how it worked. The district did an amazing job, and actually we received a lot of private and public support to get Chromebooks into the hands of each student, including hotspots. So if families didn't have internet service that was reliable, providing hotspots. And I know that at least some of the students who still need those resources, they're still available. And as a result, there has been, at least at some of the schools, I can't speak across the board, but there has been increases because of all those purchases. There's been actually more access even now to Chromebooks than there were previously for our students.
Again, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Take care, everyone. Appreciate you spending the time with me.
Thank you, everyone. We're going to be signing off, and we will let you know about our next meeting. Thanks.